You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Oh my. I am so excited. Are you excited, Brother Wolven?
I am. This is our big interview. We're starting with our interviews. We started with the heaviest hitter we could find.
It's all that our budget could afford. Yeah, we went way out on this one. Can you hear me, Japan? Hello in Japan. I have in studio in the solid rock under the stairs studio, Brother Mike Holland, one of my dearest, dearest friends in the world.
And my boss. I'm only here because he's paying me to be here.
Cha-ching.
That's not the truth. I'm not paying him.
All right, I'm out.
Yeah, you'll get something. Have a drink at Tim Hortons. That's all you're getting.
The only reason he's here is because he thought he was getting overtime pay.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Hey, you know Brother Holland very well. You're a youth pastor, right?
Yes, I was, correct. But he grew since then. He grew in the Lord since then, so now he's beneficial and helpful in the ministry.
Yeah, back then he wasn't much help, was he?
I was always taller than my youth pastor, but never as wise.
The kids in the kindergarten class were taller than your youth pastor. Why don't you tell the world what it's been like to work for the greatest boss in the world for 26 years?
Jackie is the love of my life and is a wonderful wife.
She's such a slave driver, though. Brother Mike has been our youth pastor for 25 years, my associate for 26 years. He's got some experience, and he's got some great insight to things. So, Brother Wolven, I'm going to let you start this off and ask Brother who are we asking? Oh, Holland. We're asking Holland. Ask Brother Holland anything you want.
Okay. Well, here goes. Give people a little bit of a background. How in the world did an American wind up working for a Canadian?
Yeah, that's a good question. I ask myself that often, and when I was in high school, back in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Cleveland Baptist Church and Heritage Christian School, Pastor Stone came down and began working at our Christian school. And so when I was in about grade 9, he began as a Bible teacher and a PE teacher there at the school, and we struck up a friendship there and a mentorship. And as I made a decision to give my life to Christ and see what God would have for me, he helped me with that decision. And as I left for Bible college, just before I left, he said that one day he would like to pastor. And I told him that I was going to go study to be a youth pastor and that one day he would like for me to come work for him if that would, the Lord would work that out. And so I went off to Bible college for 4 years. And after my third year, I was seeking the Lord for what to do with my life that summer. Had several opportunities, things waiting for answers back, and nothing seemed to come back. And then I got a phone call from Pastor Stone one day asking me to come up and do a six-week internship here in St. Thomas, Ontario at Bible Baptist Church. And I just felt the Lord had opened that door, so I accepted that offer. And then the next day I got a phone call from another opportunity that I had inquired about, and they'd asked me to come, but I'd already accepted the offer to come up here. And so I came up here for 6 weeks, loved it here in St. Thomas, loved the church. And so I finished my last year of Bible college and then came up here just a few weeks after I finished Bible college.
Let me just say that Brother Holland, when he was in school, was a model student. He had great character. He had great spirituality. His friends voted him as the most spiritual student in the school. So I saw great things in his life that I knew would be a help to a ministry. He also has a great sense of humor, which really helps in this relationship for sure.
Yes, for sure.
We've laughed a lot and we've cried a lot.
Well, yeah, but But Pastor Stone, you're not telling who else was in that class. To say the most spiritual out of that class, I mean, you know, well, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
I was a winner by default.
He was homeschooled.
That's right. I came second to my sister.
Thanks, Vicky. She voted for him.
No, honestly, I can attest to that. As his youth director, I admired the things that I saw in Brother Holland. The Lord used him to help and encourage me.
Let me ask you this, Brother Holland. You've been my associate 26 years. What can you tell to other young preachers that are working with another preacher? What's some advice you can give to them that would help them be as much help as you've been to me?
Well, I think the main thing is just to get on the same page as your pastor and support him. Be free to speak your mind and your heart in any matter. We've had many discussions in the church office about situations, how to handle things, direction. But the discussions that happened in the church office never left the office. We would make a decision, and you would make a decision as a pastor, and then I would need to get on board with that, whether I agreed 100% or not. We always agreed outside, and that's very rare.
Amen.
But I always wanted to support what the pastor had decided because I believe that God had ordained that leadership.
I would say, too, and he hates when I say this, but we have such a close relationship. I feel as close to Brother Holland as I would my wife, in that I can speak to him and know that he is going to tell me the truth, whether I like it or not. And I think probably the greatest thing he ever said to me was, Pastor, if you know that that's what the Lord wants, and you can prove to me it's the Lord, I'm behind you 100%. And that really helped me.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. All right, think back. When was, in your learning process of learning each other, and of course it helped before you went there, you had had a relationship, but can you think back to a particular incident, Pastor Holland, that you say, this was one of those bridge decisions that I had to come to in my ministry of saying, all right, it's the buck stops with him and not with me?
That's a good question. It's hard to come back to like one single incident. I keep a couple things in my mind. There was a time when I first started out and the youth group wasn't going maybe the direction we wanted to go. I remember sitting at breakfast together early on and talking about things and the pastor trying to encourage me with some things and tried to challenge me with some things and just saying, you know, feeling that maybe I wasn't cut out for the ministry, wasn't cut out for the youth. And just that conversation that he said, no, I don't want you to think that way. I just want to encourage you. We need to, you know, work on these things. And so I think having him stand behind me at that point was a big part in our relationship.
Amen.
And then a few years in, our church built a building and finances got a little tight. And so I went to a factory to work for a short time to keep things going for my family. And I remember that pastor was very eager to try to get me back on staff and the sacrifice that he would make even himself to get us back on the church staff. Again, showing that he supported me, wanted me there, and it was a great relationship, and our relationship kind of grew throughout the years.
The truth Amen. Of the matter is I was sick of doing all the work. I wanted to get him back in the office so I could goof off for a while. He does so much here. I'm the idea guy, and he is the logistics guy. So I sit around thinking, and he's goes around doing. That was the truth. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Brother Holland, is the biggest change in ministry, especially youth ministry, that you've seen over these last 25, 26 years?
Well, I mean, our society has obviously changed, and so though teens haven't changed much, the society that they live in has changed. Things that were not even talked about 25 years ago are now not only are they acceptable, but they're applauded. And so that's a whole different makeup of the schools that these guys are going to. And so I think the challenges that they go through, even, you know, the existence of God, some of those things that we just kind of took for granted back in those days have changed. And so it's definitely been a change in ministry and just people's response to the Bible, to authority, has been different over these years. And so we definitely see a difference in their attitudes.
Pastor Holland, a lot of people listening to this may sort of in their mind be thinking of the ministry that the Lord has blessed already there at Bible Baptist right now. And they're thinking, okay, you know, office buildings, and I get my office, and I have this position. Tell us a little bit about what it was like when you first went there to Bible Baptist Church.
Yeah, that's a good question. We, as far as office space, we just picked out anywhere in the building that wasn't being used, and even some places that were being used for Sunday school space, and we just threw up a desk and called that our office, and sometimes we'd have to move those in the winter months or summer months, depending on how hot or cold it was. So we kind of had rotating offices for the first little bit and never really had that established office. And so that was never a big deal to us. We just enjoyed ministry and being there together. But it definitely was different in the early years than, you know, you were establishing program. And I was the first full-time youth pastor that the church had had. So we began different ministries. We began an outreach ministry shortly into our ministry to try to reach teenagers, you know, that were outside of our church while still meeting the needs of the teens inside our church. And so I think just the whole idea of just establishing new ministries. In the early years, we tried a bunch of things that did not work. And that's so just keep trying. I always tell youth pastors, young guys, that if you love teenagers and you want to reach them, you'll figure it out. Don't be afraid to try something.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to, you know, fail at something. If one program doesn't work, don't worry about that. Under the guidance of your pastor and the direction of your church, you'll figure something out. Just keep loving on teenagers and keep trying to find a way to reach them, and God will lead you to the program and use your abilities and your gifts to reach teenagers if that's your desire.
Let me ask you this. What's been the hardest part of working with teenagers for this length of time?
Well, probably the thing that's the hardest and sometimes the most the biggest blessing is seeing teenagers that maybe stray away for a time. Some never come back or haven't come back yet, I should say, and then some come back. And so it's very hard to invest time into people, and not because it's your time, it's because you just know that the life lived for Christ is the life that matters.
Amen.
And if teens don't make that decision, they're going to waste years and time and come back with scars and baggage. And you have given your life as a youth pastor to try to avoid that, yet it's just going to happen. And but the greatest blessing is to see them come back 5, 10, 15 years later and or find out they're in a church somewhere else they don't even know about. And you just never know the impact of what you're doing. And I love being here. In St. Thomas is not a big city. When we first came, it was about 28,000, now closer to 40,000 people. In a town that size, you run into people at Walmart, at the mall, and you just see people all the time that used to be in our youth group. And, in fact, last night we had an outreach at our church. We had a family fun night, and I counted at least 6 or 7 of our former teens that came back with their families that have not been connected to our church in a number of years, but I got to see them again after all these years. And so I'm thankful God allowed me to stay in one place and to just minister and know people and try to help them know Christ.
Well, amen. I know that you just made mention that you've been there this great length of time. Has there been occasions, you don't have to go into detail, but has there been occasions that you felt like maybe the Lord wants me to move on, or maybe the Lord wants me to go somewhere else?
That would be about every Monday morning, I think, right in that range.
That's so funny. We think alike. I was going to say the exact same thing. I mean, obviously there's times in your life where ministry seems stagnant, opportunities open up. It's easy to get your eyes off sometimes what God wants you to do and see what others are doing. But I just always have told the Lord that I would do whatever he wants me to do and would be happy and content to stay in one place if that would be his desire. And so I've never really looked for other opportunities. Others have come along and just the door hasn't opened up fully. But so I'm just thankful God allowed me to stay here and to do what I'm doing. And my plan is to stay here for the rest of my ministry unless the Lord moves you somewhere else.
Let me say that Brother Holland, early on in his ministry, said, you know, I'm happy to serve the Lord. I would pastor if he wanted me to, but I'm not looking for that. And I'm happy to stay here for the rest of my life, which is music to a preacher's ears, because you want a guy that's going to be invested in and then stay and be part of that investment. And he's been that. And that is such a help to me. I never worried about him, you know, trying to divide the church and maybe want the church. He's just been a great guy to have and say, I'm going to be here. And so that's a tremendous help to any pastor. And when you're looking for an associate that you want long term, you need that.
I would say, too, that sometimes it's hard to differentiate between burden and call. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been so many times I thought about, you know, leaving here to do something else because there's such a need somewhere else. I mean, Canada needs pastors. The mission field needs missionaries. And there's so many needs. And so sometimes you think, you know, well, if no one else will go, I'll go. And so just to have – I've always – when I felt that way, I've always prayed about it and asked the Lord, yeah. You know, is this just a burden for something else, mm-hmm. or is this a call? And you got to differentiate between that. And through those times, God always made it clear that it's good to have a burden for other ministries, other needs, but that he would make it very clear in my life if that was a call to go somewhere else.
And whenever he went to the altar during those services, I would give him a raise the next day. That really helped.
Always helps.
Well, Pastor Holland, now you've been working with teenagers for a good length of time, and I think what you've experienced is a little bit mirrored my experience, but let's say you're talking to a youth director or maybe a senior in Bible college or someone in their last year of Bible college or somebody's just showed up at a church and they're rolling up their sleeves, they're all excited. How long do you think it, on an average, in independent Baptist churches, does it take before that youth director commonly will see some kind of fruit from his that can sort of he can realize he's being effective?
Yeah, it's tough. I can only have one life, and I've only done it one time. But I do remember early on. Having those feelings of, you know, am I being effective and is this really what it's going to be like? And again, we just went through that process of trying things and learning and growing. But it was a number of years I felt like that until we really began to make inroads. Again, we started a youth program on a night we called Gym Night. And there, even when we first began that, we had different places and different things, and I remember having a conversation with Pastor and saying, "Well, maybe it's time to, you know, try something different." And we just didn't feel at the time it was the right time to change anything. We just kept moving forward, and then all of a sudden, the program just kind of took off, and we began to reach teenagers, and a number of them are still, you know, young adults now in our church.
Amen.
You got to stay with it. And again, like I said, if your heart is right and you believe that God's called you there and you love teenagers, you know, don't be afraid to try something and try to reach out and make new connections. And God will give you something that you'll see an impact in lives. And it's never enough. You always want to have more impact and have, you know, more souls saved. It's never enough, but you always want to be able to put your head in the pillow at night and say, I did what God wanted me to do today. And be glad for that.
Yeah, I think for me, it was about 6 years whenever I started, like, you know, the Lord just said, there, see? Before I really felt like, thank God, I think we're really finally moving strongly in the right direction.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I think I was in your youth group for the first 4 years, so it was pretty bad then.
And the fact that he had no real example to follow, that was tough on him. Brother Holland is a stickler for numbers and being exact if he can. I love that. But give me a ballpark idea of how many young people you think you've influenced over 25 years.
Again, that's a tough question. We, in our Gym Night ministry, outreach ministry, we would see anywhere from, during the highest numbers, probably 60 to 70 teenagers every Wednesday. And I would say that just because of the program and nothing to do with us, just how things worked, we would have the opportunity to preach to at least two or three new teenagers every week, two or three visitors every week, for months, if not years at a time, just because teens were bringing other teenagers, which To me, it wasn't like I was out knocking on doors to get them to come. I wasn't seeing them there. It just, God was just blessing in that way.
Amen.
Teens were bringing teenagers to hear the gospel. Many were not receiving it. They may not come back again, but I just know that for those years. So it'd be, you know, definitely hundreds, maybe into the, you know, over 1,000 that we have impacted through our outreach. Again, we bump into them all the time. We see them in the Walmart as they're, when they're cashiers. We see them in the restaurants and stuff, and I still have a good connection with many of them. And I love that about ministry. I love that about being in one place for a long time. I just the connection you have with people has been outstanding here. So I love that.
Was there any disadvantage to you showing up and beginning in your ministry as a single man?
Boy, it probably was. I was just too young to realize it. I just knew God had called me here, and they had offered me a position. Especially back then, I didn't tend to overthink things too much. I just talked about open doors. In fact, before I came here, I had another opportunity offered to me, so I sat down with my dad, who is just a layman in a church, and I asked him about his opinion. And he said, well, it just seems to me that the God has opened the door for you to be in Canada all this time. Why would God change his mind now? It made a lot of sense. The door is open. And so whether I was single, married, I just didn't think too much about that. Obviously, I was looking forward to one day getting married, and it wasn't about 2 or 3 years up here that I found a good Canadian girl, and God provided that for me. But obviously, you know, you got to be careful about when you're taking kids, girls home and providing rides for people. We're careful about that whether or not, but always having your wife with you makes it so much easier.
Yes.
So we struggled with that a little bit at first. Obviously, we didn't do any counseling at all with girls that had to be done by, you know, Mrs. Stone or somebody else in the church or anything like that. So there are definitely hindrances to not having a wife right away in the ministry. But, you know, there's always ways to fill those gaps as long as you're wise about it.
I think that, conservatively speaking, I figured the other day that our church has had an average of about 100 people a week, and that's very conservative. But that brought in about 150,000 people over 30 years, if you add them together. And with just 3 visitors or 4 visitors a week, it was almost 7,000 visitors. So I would say in our youth department, we would have averaged over the years, what, 30 or 40 people?
Yeah, probably.
Times 52 weeks times 30 years. That's 25 years. That's a lot of young people, mm-hmm. and he's had a great impact in a lot of people's lives. And one of the things that amazes me about your brother Holland is that he remembers people. We'll be walking down the street, and some kid will say, oh, hey, Pastor, how are you? And Brother Holland's like, hey, Mike, hey, Betty, Susie, whoever it is, and he knows them. And they'll walk away, and I'll say, I have no idea, and he'll say, oh, no, that's so-and-so, and they lived at such-and-such address, and they came with so-and-so. He's attentive to the details of young people, and that's made a huge impact, and he's made a huge impact in this city for sure. Brother Holland, what would you say is the greatest accomplishment and probably the greatest hardship that you've had in being either a youth pastor or an associate?
Greatest accomplishment and greatest hardship. Again, I think the greatest accomplishment is just being able to get up every morning and do what you love. I've often said I don't look at, you know, when I was youth pastor, being until the last couple years maybe, but the first 23 years of youth ministry, I just enjoyed being the youth pastor. I enjoyed the activities. I enjoyed the teenagers. I loved every minute of it. It did come a time in my last couple years where I thought, you know, it's time for a younger guy to take over now. And we had a great young man just waiting for him to finish Bible college. And so I was excited for him to come. He's got a great heart for the Lord, loves the teenagers, does a great job. And so it's always been a great encouragement just to be able to invest your life in the young people. And a hardship, like I said before, is probably seeing them not follow in the ways of Christ, knowing that they're hurting their lives and seeing the wrecks that they can make on their own without Christ and being able to do nothing about it. It's all on their own. I would like to say, though, too, that, you know, having been here in St. Thomas all these years, that being working with one man for that years, those many years, does make you, not so much that, I mean, obviously Pastor was a mentor to me throughout our time here, but also as you work with one man, you learn to try to fill in the needs that he has. Every man has weaknesses. Every man has strengths. And so He said he would say that I'm a detail man and that he's not a detail man. And I don't know if I had gone to work for a detail man, if I would be the detail man. I had to be the detail man here. Mm-hmm. That was what God called me to do. I work on church finances, and I've always had I did well in math and numbers and that. And had I not gone to a place that needed that, I may not know that. Just filling in the needs of those around you, especially your senior pastor. And that really kind of makes you the person that you are. I am the logistics man here because that would drive Pastor crazy. Pastor has a great idea, a big idea, and a great vision and a great passion. And so I have to be the guy that kind of fills that in. Had I been in another ministry where the pastor was more of an administrator and less of a visionary, maybe I would have to fill in a gap in another way. So as an assistant pastor, you always are looking to fill in the areas that need to be filled in and make that ministry complete.
Amen. What do you think are some of the, let's say, 3, 4, 5 of the greatest needs that you see among young people today?
Yeah, today, I mean, I don't know if young people, if their needs have changed so much. It's just a society, and maybe those needs just become greater, but they need acceptance. They need an unconditional love. And I got to be careful, not unconditional acceptance. There's a difference, I guess, and unconditional love, that you love them. Christ loves us. God loves us no matter what. He doesn't accept everything we do. There's things that are right and wrong. But unconditional love, they do need structure. I mean, I think that young people still want to know what the Bible says and know it's from God's word. They need a great example. They need to see a real Christianity, not something that's fake, not something that's phony. They need to see a reality, a real walk with Christ. And so I think that is a great need today, to make sure that it's not just, we're just not repeating the same things over and over again, but that we're teaching them how to have that authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's probably the most difficult thing
Amen.
To do.
Well, I want to close this out by saying that I love Mike Holland. I love you, Brother Holland. It has been a joy of my life to be able to work with you all these years, and I look forward to what the Lord's got in these days ahead. We're going to work together at Bearing Precious Seed Canada. He's going to take care of the day-to-day operations. I'm going to go out and travel and try to raise some awareness and some money for our ministry. And I just want to say to preachers out there today, pray for a Mike Holland. I'm telling you, we could not have done here what we've done without a man like Mike Holland, and I appreciate that very much.
Pastor Holland.
I just want to say I love you too, Pastor.
Pastor Holland, let me ask you, you're starting into some territory that you've never been before. Give me your perspective of now being an older guy, and you're going to start being working for a younger guy.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, and I love change. I love new things, and so Pastor Yeomans, the guy on our staff that's looking to take over the church, is a great young man, and I've had a great relationship with him. But it will be a little bit different in that I will be the elder statesman on the staff, and so it'll be a little bit different, but yet the same. In that, I'll give him my advice, I'll give him my opinion, and in the end, the pastor will make the decision. And I'll say to him, just like I said to Pastor Stone, if you feel like this is God's will and you're 100% behind that, I may not see it right now, but I'll be glad to follow that example.
Amen.
Well, our time has slipped away, Brother Wolven, and I want to say thank you to Brother Holland for meeting with us today. We're looking forward to some more interviews of pastors, associates, church members that can just add another view to the ministry. So I appreciate that. I'm Brother Al Stone with Brother Mike Holland in St. Thomas, Ontario.
Yes, and this is Dan Wolven, and stay tuned for later on, because we're going to ask Brother Stone to go ahead and leave, and he's going to think that we're done, but we're going to carry on part 2 of this interview.
Oh, you think so?
We'll ask him some real in-depth questions.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. He's left the studio, and he won't be back.
I'll be available anytime for those questions.
We'll catch you after the first of the year, brother.
There you go. This is Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.